This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. It's Tina Camellia, Kelly Anissa, and Sumitra Silver with you this hour. And here's our lineup today. Do you prefer cardio or weights? A new study determined that one is better than the other at reducing heart fat.
Yeah, sorry. And no worries. In our second story, so a recent study has found that the most effective way to fight global warming is to plant trees. 1 trillion of them, to be exact. Hmm. So more on that in our second story.
Did you say a trillion trees?
Yes, a trillion.
Okay, so I suppose we better ask people, would you be open to planting a tree in a public space? Your options are on Twitter are, yes, we need more green, no, it's not my job, or we have enough trees. To join the conversation today, do tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
Obviously, I need to breathe in and breathe out, so let's hear that from Melody's Echo Chamber.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was Melody's Echo Chamber with Breathe In, Breathe Out, which I'm trying to do right now. On to our first story.
So there's a certain type of heart fat called pericardial adipose tissue that has been linked to heart disease. Now, obviously, you won't want a high deposit of this fat if you want to have good heart health. Mm. So what would you do to reduce it? Eat well and exercise, right? But what kind of exercise is best? Now, in a small study published in JAMA Cardiology, Danish researchers determined that this type of heart fat was reduced in patients who did weight training, but not those who did aerobic exercise.
Interesting. I didn't know that. So basically, the researchers recruited 32 adults who were obese and sedentary, but did not present with heart disease, diabetes, or atrial fibrillation. They each had an MRI scan of the heart. Then they were randomly assigned to a program of aerobic exercise, weight training, or no activity, which is the control group. At the end of the three-month period, they had another MRI scan of the heart. So compared to the control group, both the aerobic and weight training programs reduced the epicardial adipose tissue mass by 32% and 24% respectively. However, only weight training showed a reduction of pericardial adipose tissue, which was reduced by 31% compared to those who did not exercise.
So the study's lead author, Dr. R.H. Christensen, told Reuters that they were surprised by the finding. But is it really that surprising to the fitness community? So we speak to strength and conditioning coach Nick Hidayatpour for his comments. Nick, you read the report. Were you as surprised as the researchers were about the findings of the study?
Oh, not at all. It's just, we see this all the time, and it's definitely not a surprise.
And what is it about resistance training or weight training that seems to make it more superior to cardio-only training?
You mean when it comes to fat loss?
Yes.
Yeah, there could be a lot of reasons, a lot of ways to explain this, but I'm just going to give you a couple of pointers to make it very easy to understand. So the first thing that you need to understand is that when you do weight training, you're actually increasing the dopamine production of the body. So dopamine is that neurotransmitter in the brain that's, that helps to regulate things like hypertension, like blood pressure, or your metabolism, right? So when you increase dopamine production, so you're helping to increase your metabolism as well, right? So the best way to do that is by doing high intensity sort of training, and the best way to do that would be using heavy weight training to do just that, right? So that would be one way to do that, because dopamine regulates metabolism, right? So that would be one way. The other one is that weight training, when you do weight training, you're actually stressing your body. So since it's a control environment, and if you have the right program and use the light, the right load in a controlled way, you're stressing your body in a good way, right? So whenever you're stressing the body, regardless of what stress it is, it could be physical, it could be psychological, it could be physiological, you have some sort of a protective mechanism. So your body starts to, produce hormones such as cortisol from the adrenal glands, to help you deal with the stress. And weight training helps you to increase your cortisol production, right? So during training, having the stress or hormone elevated is very good, because cortisol is also a breaking down hormone. It's a hormone that helps you to metabolize fats and carbohydrates and proteins to use them as fuel. So when you do weight training, you're actually tapping into that energy reserve of the body due to the cortisol production. So it will help you to sort of metabolize those nutrients so that you can use them as fuel for training, right?
Mm.
And a bunch of other reasons that would be simple to understand is that when you weight train, so weight training is obviously more beneficial to increase muscle mass as opposed to doing cardiovascular only. And that's because when you do cardiovascular training, you're not creating any sort of substantial mechanical damage to the muscles. But when you do weight training, you do exactly that. You damage the muscles and they have to repair themselves. And in the repairing process, they come back stronger and bigger, right? So, and muscle is more expensive to keep, to build or to maintain than fat. So if your muscle mass goes up, your fat mass is going down, right? So from a BMR perspective, so based on metabolic rate, if you have a higher based on metabolic rate, that means that you have more lean tissue, right? So that would be another reason that's easy to understand. And I'll just give you one last one. When you do higher intensity sort of training, such as, let's say, let's compare a set of 10 repetitions of a barbell back squat done with a 10RM, which stands for repetition max. So you use the weight that is only possible to do for 10 repetitions. You actually the contraction that you need in order to complete that set is a lot harder than doing 15 to 20 minutes of steady state cardio, right? So the more powerful contractions you require in an extended set, the more energy you need to produce that kind of powerful contraction, as opposed to doing it with a very low intensity. So that's a bunch of reasons why weight training is a lot more effective when it comes to body composition compared to cardiovascular training.
But surely there is a place for cardio training, even if it's not for burning off excess fat, perhaps maybe for stamina or endurance performance?
Yes, definitely. It really depends on, if let's say someone is an athlete and their sport requires a very good level of cardiovascular, endurance. So if they need a high level of VO2 max and they play a sport that endurance is a big aspect of it, yes, for sure, they can and they should train that component of fitness. And the other way that you could use cardiovascular training is to increase GABA. So GABA is one of those neurotransmitters that's like an off switch. It will help you to remain calm and, inner peace and feeling calm. And cardiovascular training, especially steady state, but for short durations, anything from 20 to 30 minutes would suffice for most people. And that would certainly help to, calm the body. It would be also useful to use as an active recovery tool. So let's say you have 4 to 5 sessions of weight training on a weekly basis, and then you can throw in 1 to 2 sessions of very low intensity cardiovascular work to help you to increase blood flow and help you actively recover. So sure, there's definitely a time and a place for that.
Yeah. Why does it seem that the research field is always playing catch up with what the fitness community, fitness expert like yourself, already know?
Okay. Well, I think the biggest factor is that, doing a study properly is very hard, because there's just so many variables that you need to control, right? That's just going to be making it very, very hard to come up with precise data, right? And let's say, for example, you do a study on strength training, and then you give people different protocols, and you might have the most controlled environment, the best nutrition program, the best training program, the best equipment to deal with. But some of those participants show up, and then they're in a bad mood, or they didn't, they probably lied that they had breakfast because they just wanted to make some quick bucks because they usually do this in university settings or they might have some sort of stress. They had a fight with the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and then that could drastically change the results of that study. And the other thing is that studies take time to apply for funding, and just there's just so many variables, right? And they're not very cheap to do, you know, they require a substantial amount of funding, right? And the other thing is that the clinicians, so we consider ourselves clinicians because we experiment in the gym, and we're dealing with the practice aspect of it mainly. Yes, theory is important, but the thing is, what we need to understand is that it's the practice that will give us the outcome, not the theories. We could have so many theories, but only by doing applying the theory, we can understand what actually works. So the same thing goes through, it holds true with, you know, the medical industry as well. If you look at nutritionists and functional medicine doctors, they are so far ahead from conventional medicine because conventional medicine relies on theories and old textbooks, but functional medicine and functional medicine nutritionists, they're always, you know, looking at the practice perspective sort of things, right? So I think it just comes down to the application aspect of it, in my opinion.
Right.
And you know what? If you look at the clinicians in any field, because they are doing the work on the spot and then they're gathering data, and this is not just 3 months or 6 months, because usually studies are very short. They do studies for 3 months or 6 months, but what we like to see as clinicians is a study that's done for 10 years or 20 years. When you do that, when you can, and it's very hard to apply for funding for a 10-year or 20-year study, you know? And if someone can do that, you know, I'm sure that they'll have more valuable insights. And the reason why clinicians are always, you know, ahead of the curve is because they have so much data from years and years of doing practical work with their clients so that they have those valuable data to be able to help them make decisions better.
That was strength and conditioning coach Nick Hedayatpo. Can I just say that I love what Nick said about sample sizes and length of study and even funding, because I was talking to a statistician earlier today, and this was exactly what we were going into, that, you know, the number of people that you actually do speak to matters. And it's all well and good to be able to issue the results of a study like this, you know, with the sweeping generalization, one is better than the other. But, you know, as I've been speaking to the statistician, I'm viewing all these numbers with healthy skepticism from now on.
Yeah. What's that famous phrase? There are three
types of lies.
Yeah.
Lies, damned lies, and statistics. Benjamin Disraeli, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, the study doesn't explain why weight training would have a different effect from endurance training, but Christensen said that we know from other studies that resistance training is a stronger stimulus for increased muscle mass and increased basal metabolism compared to endurance training. So I think it would be interesting because, yeah, this was a short-term program. It was a three-month thing. 32, sample size was 32 people.
Tiny.
Very, very tiny.
Insignificant, I would say.
Yeah, so there's a lot of limitations to the study. Again, I suppose it's funding. But I think it would also be interesting to see the results of a combined weight plus cardio program and see whether there's a, you know, significant.
I'm still very surprised that when you're comparing weight training to cardio, aerobics, for example, which is cardio, that they yielded better results when it comes to fat surrounding the heart. Yeah. So that's really surprising to me. I always thought that if, you know, that cardio or aerobics would be the one that somewhat trumps that compared to other workouts.
There is no denying the benefits of weight training, right? Especially for women, especially for female bodies. It does help increase bone mass, you know, increase of muscle mass is always going to be useful in later years. So, yeah, nobody's, you know, wailing on that side of things. But, 32 people.
Anyway, up next, we're asking you on Twitter first.
Would you be open to planting a tree in a public space? your options are. Yes, we need more green. No, it's not my job. And we have enough trees.
So you can join the conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or call us 7733-2900. We'll get to that right after Got a Broken Heart Again by Prince. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.